Solomon says this: all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. What did Solomon just explain here? He explained a process that scientists have worked on for years.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the greatness of God seen in creating nature. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the greatness of God seen in creating nature.
If God set it up like that, truly, He is the one that can intervene and stop it. Look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That they were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they had one last obstacle, and that was the Jordan River. And Joshua told them, sanctify yourselves, because you're going to see God do something great. Well, what is a great thing that God's going to do? God is going to stop His own process. He's going to halt His own process. Look at verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. And as they who bore the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap very far from the city of Adam. And this is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the Arabah, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over against Jericho. God stopped up the river. Man got to build a dam. Take them years and years to build a dam to stop the water. God stopped it in an instant right there. The God who created the hydrological process, He can stop it and intervene anytime that He wants to. Look at Joshua chapter 4 and verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were able to pass over. God, He dams up rivers. Oh, what a mighty God that we serve. If there's problems that are flowing in my life, God is able to cut it off at the source. God is able to stop it at the source so I can walk across on dry land. But not only does God intervene in rivers, but we see in Joel 2:20, you don't have to turn there, but we see in Joel 2:20 that He said, I will give you the rain. He said, I will speak to the rain and it will rain on the earth. And then He told Elijah to go before Ahab and tell him, by the God that I live by, for 3 years it will not rain on the face of the earth. God held up the rain. He can cause it to rain, or He can stop the rain. What a great God we serve. He said in Psalm 103 and verse 33, that if He wanted to, He could dry up all the springs and the rivers on the earth. He could just speak the word and they would all dry up. We see in the book of Jonah that God is able to calm a storm, cause a storm, and in the book of Mark, He's able to stop a storm. Amen. Amen. He's able to cause a storm and He's able to stop a storm. As I think about the fact that God is able to cause a storm, you know, why would God cause a storm in somebody's life? Let me answer that question for you. Turn to the book of Jonah. Maybe the reason that some of you have some storms in your life right now is because God caused that storm in your life. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. God told Jonah to get on a boat and go to Nineveh and preach to the city of Nineveh. Jonah gets on a boat and he goes in the exact opposite direction. He's going to Tarshish to do his thing. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger of being broken. God will send a storm in your life if you are being disobedient. If you are doing your own thing, if you are shaking your fist in the hand of God and rebelling against him, as a matter of fact, if we were to read this literally, what it says is that God shaped the storm and then he hurled it right where Jonah was at. God had a storm with Jonah's name on it because he was trying to deal with Jonah in his disobedience. And maybe sometimes we as Christians, we have problems not because of anything that happened by accident or chance, but maybe we have storms in our life because God threw one at us. Hey, there goes Bill Glaze. Hey, there goes so-and-so. And God is throwing a storm because he's trying to get your attention. And that same God who threw the storm, I thank God in the book of Mark, if you'll turn there, he's able to stop the storm. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the boat, and there were also with him other little boats. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the boat so that it was full. And he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, that the storm will stop when he speaks to it? What manner of man is this that will calm the raging waters of the sea? What manner of man is this? He's the same man that can speak peace to the storms in your life. God can speak peace to the storms in your life. And as I thought about this, I thought about what are some characteristics of having peace in the storm? That if you're going through a storm, that God, who has set this whole process from evaporation to precipitation to river flow back out to the same God that put that in place, is able to speak peace to that situation and speak peace to that storm. And we see here in this passage that we have a present peace. A present peace. What do I mean when I say that? Look at verse 38. And he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the pillow. One thing that we need to realize, that if we are Christians, if we are born again, that when the storms of life come our way, that Jesus is in the boat with us. That when storms come, he hasn't forsaken you. He's not somewhere way out there, but Jesus is on the boat with you. The psalmist said that God will help me, and that right early, that he always shows up right in the nick of time, that he's right there with you in that situation. There was a captain who was sailing from Liverpool, England, to New York. And as he was sailing, he had his crew, and he decided to take his family with him on the ship on this occasion. And his daughter, who was on the ship, was down in the bottom of the boat sleeping. And as she was sleeping, she was waking up all of a sudden because there was a great storm that was tossing the boat, and a couple times the boat almost turned over. And the little girl, shaken, woke up, and she asked the question, what's the matter? And they said that we're in a terrible storm, and the boat is about to tip over. And she asked the question. She said, is Father on deck? And they said, yeah, your father is on deck. Your father's manning the ship. And she went back and got in bed and went back to sleep. Is Father on deck? Maybe you're worried today because Father is not on deck. Maybe you're worried today because you're not focused on God. Maybe you're worried today because you're not looking at the one who's able to calm the storms. If you realize who's sailing the ship, everything will be all right. The problem is that many of us are sailing our own ships. And when you sail your own ship, then that's when you're going to get in trouble. Fear not the winds when they blow wild. The ship, it will not wreck. Lie down and sleep, oh helpless child. The Father is on deck. The Father is on deck. Who's at the helm of the boat of your life? Yeah, if you're at the helm, when the seas get rough and the waves billow and your boat is tossed to and fro, then you've got something to worry about. You've got a problem if you're at the helm of the deck. But if you've given it over to God, if you've given it to Him and you're letting Him control it, then everything will be all right. You see, the songwriter says sometimes in this life, we're going to be tossed. If you listen to the radio program, the title of the radio program is Anchored in Jesus. Amen. Because we realize that sometimes the storms in life might keep on raging, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. And the hope that lies within is reassured as we keep our eyes upon that distant shore. I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. So if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I realize that sometimes in this life, you're going to be tossed by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor. And it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the storms. So if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on rolling in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Who's the captain of your ship? He's the same one that put the hydrological process into work, and He can intervene and stop it anytime He wants to. I heard about a lady who had a parrot, and she was on the phone. And as she was on the phone, she was trying to run the vacuum cleaner. And the parrot happened to get over by the vacuum cleaner, and the vacuum cleaner sucked him up. And the lady quickly hung up the phone and said, oh my goodness, my parrot. And so she went and opened up the vacuum cleaner and began to look through it and found out that the parrot was still alive. So she took the parrot as he was still alive, and she began to put him in the washing machine, the washing. And the parrot started screaming when he was in the washing machine. And she took the parrot out, and she took her blow dryer, and she began to try to blow dry the parrot dry. And the parrot fell out, and she took the parrot to the hospital. And the parrot's name was Chippy, and the parrot had been in the hospital for a couple weeks, and somebody said, how's Chippy? And she said, well, I think he's going to be all right, but you know, he don't sing too much anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, Sometime when we've been sucked in, washed up, and blown away. Sometime we might lose our song. Sometime we might lose our song when we've been tossed like that parrot and pulled here and there. But if we just keep on letting Jesus be the captain of our ship, we'll get our song back. The parrot had lost the song. Lost the song. Some of you have lost your song. You've been tossed. You've been driven. You've been like the parrot. You've been sucked up, washed up, and blow-dried. You need to let God take control of the helm of your life. Jesus was on the boat. And because he was on the boat, there was a present peace. And then we see that there is a powerful peace. Look at verse 39. Verse 39, it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased. The wind stopped. A present peace, he was right there. A present peace, he was right there. A powerful peace that he was able to stop the storm. That's the power of Christ. When you think about how great is our God and how that he's able to put this whole system in motion, and at any moment that he decides, he can come and he can speak to it and he can stop. The power of God. There was a man who was breaking into a house, and he was breaking into the house. He heard this voice said, Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. And he kept on doing what he was doing, and he heard it again. Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. And he looked up, and here we go, got another parrot. Parrot, Jesus is watching you. And he said, who are you? He told the parrot, who are you? And he said, my name is Moses. He said, Moses. He said, what kind of people would name their parrot Moses? He said, the same ones that would name their Rottweiler Jesus. Hey, saints. Hey, let me tell you something. Are you in a storm this morning? Jesus is watching you. And he has all power in his hand. He has all power in his hand. If Jesus is watching you, when the devil knows that Jesus is there, he's not going to mess with you too long. He's not going to stick around too long. But you see, the problem is that Jesus is there, but we don't acknowledge the fact that he's there. And so when we don't acknowledge, sometimes we give more credence to the devil than we do to Jesus. Oh, well, I'm getting beat up. I'm getting beat down. You know, I'm getting worn out. Well, the reason you're getting all that, man, Jesus is right there. He has all power. He's right there. He can help you in that situation. A present peace, a powerful peace, and then lastly, we see a perfect peace. Look at verse 39 again. And there was a great calm. There was a great calm, a perfect peace. Have you ever had a problem that was just overwhelming to you? And you realize there's absolutely nothing that you could do about it. And the only thing that you could do was just take your hands off the situation and just let God do his work. And you might be riding down the street and it seemed like your whole world is falling apart, but because you know that everything is all right with you and God, that you have a perfect peace in your soul. Have you ever done something and somebody said that you did something that was wrong and they accuse you of doing something that's wrong and they say, man, you shouldn't have done that, that you're dead wrong, but in your spirit, you knew that you were being accused wrongly. In your spirit, you knew that what they were saying, the accusations that they were making, are absolutely false. And there's just something about being in that situation where you know that you know that you know that you haven't done anything wrong. And you can have assurance and you can have peace, and that you can know that, let them say what they're going to say, let them do what they're going to do, I know that I'm innocent in this situation. And then there's this peace that comes over you to say that the truth will prevail. That's the kind of peace, that perfect peace that Christ gives us in the midst of the storm. I close with this illustration. A long time ago, they were seeking the perfect picture of peace. And they summoned artists from everywhere. And they asked these artists to come and render what they thought perfect peace looked like. And on the day of the judging, they began to unveil one picture after the next, after the next. Some of the most beautiful pictures that you ever want to see portraying peace. And it came down to the last two. And they unveiled the one, and it was a glassy covered lake. And against the lake was a placid sky with just a cloud or two up there, and they were still as they stayed up in the sky. There was a nice grassy pasture, and out in the pasture there were some sheep just gently grazing along. And somebody said, "For sure, that's the picture of peace right there. That's the picture that's going to win." However, there was one more painting. And they unveiled the last painting. And the last painting was that of a waterfall that was rough and ragged and just out of control. In the sky were storm clouds in the distance, and you can see the lightning strike, and you could see the dark clouds as they moved closer. Out from this waterfall that was just out of control, there was a tree that was on the side of the waterfall that had grown into the rocks of the waterfall. And just right outside the edge of where the branches were, it extended just right beyond the waterfall. And there was on the branch, there was a nest with a bird. And the bird was sitting on the nest with her eyes closed and her wings expanded. And somebody said, "That's the picture of peace right there. With storms all around you, with waters raging out of control, on the side of a cliff, and you still got perfect peace. That's the picture of peace." I don't know what storms are raging around you today, but let me tell you that the perfect picture of peace is you sitting in the presence of God with your eyes fixed and focused on Him, knowing that He's going to make everything all right. A present peace, a powerful peace, and a perfect peace. The same God who put the hydrological system in motion, He can interrupt it at any time He wants and intervene. That same God is able to speak peace to the storm in our life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God in Creating Nature, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Nature. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Nature. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.